There's two reasons why I think that a lot of people can get a lot of inertia going in their healing after a brain injury with the gut. One of them is because we have a lot of control over the gut and gut health. And two, because of the fact that 70% of our immune system, so the immune system that's responsible for repair, revitalizing, and healing our body and tissues, 70% of that's in the gut, along with a lot of our neurotransmitters. So a lot of how we feel, how we heal, is controlled directly by what's going on in our digestive system. And I just think that there's such a powerful tool that we have with food.
There is always hope, and you are not alone.
Hi, I'm Christabel Braden, and this is my brain injury podcast, Hope Survives. Here, we share information, education, and support for the brain injury community. This is an uplifting podcast to bring hope to your darkest days. As a survivor of traumatic brain injury and multiple concussions, I know what it's like to struggle to find hope. I don't want anyone to feel as alone as I did. And that's why I started my online community called Hope After Head Injury. This podcast is an extension of that, and I'd love to invite you to join along as we explore the realities of life with brain injury, with messages of encouragement, interviews with doctors and professionals, and survivor stories. No matter where you're at on your journey, there is always hope.
With a little hope, you can make it through today. With a little faith, someday you'll get through the pain. Just a little love is enough to light the way through your darkest night. Hope survives. Hope survives. Hope survives.
Welcome back to Hope Survives podcast. Before we get into today's topic, which is the brain-gut connection, I first want to take a minute and thank everyone for their kind response to the episode last week. If you listened to it, it was called Symptom Flare-Ups and Crying Over Bananas, and I shared some of my personal story that week and just my heart and some of the struggles that I'd been going through. And I got a number of emails and just really kind messages. And so I just want to thank each one of you who listened and reached out. And it really helps to keep me going and reminds me that, yeah, this podcast is making a difference and it's helping you guys, and that we can also relate. It helps me to know that I'm not alone when I hear from you. So first, I want to thank you for being here, for being part of our Hope Survives family and tuning in week after week, and it just means a lot. Now, today's interview, I am quite excited about. We have Dr. Megan Kirschling back on the podcast. She was on towards the beginning of season two. She talked about hormones and the brain, or hormones and brain injury, and how it affects it. Let me just pull up the number episode. That would be episode 31. So that was back in the beginning of December. Now, this episode, she is back to talk about the gut and the brain. And she does a really excellent job explaining inflammation and what it is and why it can become a problem when it becomes chronic and what that means for our healing and recovery in our overall health of our body, in our overall brain injury recovery, and just some simple things that we can do to help reduce inflammation and understand that our gut and the food that we eat really does affect our brain and affects our recovery. And most of all, it empowers us because there's something that we can do that's in our hands, that's in our power as far as working towards our healing, and that's changing what we eat. And so I'm really excited for this interview, and there's a lot of great information. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll get started. Hope After Head Injury is a global online community for brain injury survivors, caregivers, families, advocates, anyone who'd want to be part of the brain injury community. I'd like to invite you to join our Facebook support group. You can search Hope After Head Injury support group on there. We also have a page and an Instagram. And every Tuesday at 7 p.m. on the Hope After Head Injury Facebook page, there's a live chat. So I've been doing this live video for over 5 years on the Hope After Head Injury Facebook page. So you can join us every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and that has become just such a beautiful community. We also have a monthly Zoom support meeting. You can join that by visiting hopeafterheadinjury.com/community, and the link for that is in the description of the podcast. We meet once a month, encourage each other on our journeys. You can either have your camera on or off, however you're comfortable. You can just listen, or you can come and share some of your story and encouragement with others. It's a great time to know that we are in this together, and we are stronger together as a brain injury community. I also run a group called Brain Injury Bible Study. You can find that information if it's something you'd be interested in. It's basically we combine faith and brain injury recovery together in that group. Now, finally, I just want to share a reminder that this podcast is for education and informational purposes only, and it's not intended for medical advice. If you need specific medical advice, please consult your physician. Now let's get started in today's interview. Today, I am so thrilled to welcome Dr. Megan Kirschling to Hope Survives podcast. Thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited for this conversation.
Yeah, I'm so excited that we were able to do this. So I first met Dr. Megan through Dr. Jeremy Schmo when we did a brain health summit in the spring of 2021. And she shared incredible information about the way the gut and the brain are connected. And I thought to myself, I would love to have her on the podcast because I want to go so much deeper into this. So today we're going to be talking about the way that the brain and the gut are connected. So, but before that, do you want to share a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure, I'd love to. So I am a functional medicine provider. I work in, right outside Minneapolis, Minnesota, in Bloomington. I do have a couple backgrounds. So I have a background both in chiropractic and nurse practitioner, both in family medicine and women's health, along with a certification and master's in nutrition. And so I just have had this huge desire to continue to learn and keep learning for my patients. And I am so blessed with just a great patient population. And they teach me things every day. And so my goal is just to get to the underlying root causes, as a lot of people really will sort of that resonates with them, that this is what we need more in healthcare and wellness care. And so I work with a patient population, everything from hormones to Lyme disease, mold, gut. And then really I step into with a lot of providers and just help sort of put together all those pieces because everybody needs a team. And so I'm also lucky to work with a lot of great providers and be part of people's healthcare teams as we sort of dive into the gut, the brain, and chronic conditions.
That's great. And that's exactly what I'm so excited to hear your expertise on. So I have heard that brain injury can affect the gut. Mm-hmm. So do you want to share a little bit about what is the brain-gut connection and how does it relate to brain injury?
Yeah, it's really this two-way highway. And so it's interesting because, you know, Hippocrates, the father of medicine, I mean, his simple quote was everything starts in the gut. And, you know, that could not be more true. And it's interesting because the more and more that I dive into functional medicine, the more I get educated, the more that I work with patients, it really does all come back to the gut. But then when we talk about this very intricate sort of dance between the brain and the gut, a lot of times with my patients, I tell them it's like mom and dad, that they both really just are interwoven together. One is not more powerful than the other. One is not better than the other. They just have to be in this constant communication. And in order for the rest of the body and the rest of everything to even have a chance to feel balanced. The brain and the gut really do have to be balanced. And they talk along a nerve called the vagus nerve, and that's their communication line. And so we do know that whenever there's any kind of injury to the brain, and anybody who's had a concussion will know this, that, you know, soon after there is that head injury, we know there's inflammation in the gut. And that's a lot of times why you get nausea and you start to feel it right there in the digestive system after a head injury. But it's a two-way highway, because also when there's any inflammation in the gut, there's that inflammation feedback back to the brain. So that's why I call it the mom and dad, because if mom's not happy, dad's not happy. And if dad's not happy, mom's not happy. So it's really important for us to restore this balance, whether or not it started and maybe the gut inflammation was there first and we didn't even know it, or whether or not there's been brain inflammation that's now leading to more gut inflammation.
Thank you for explaining it like that. You know, we often know, or we hear, that one of the major first signs of concussion is nausea or throwing up. And a lot of people know that, but then it's kind of left there. Like, I didn't know that, oh, that actually means there's like more of a connection there, or how does that affect your recovery? Like, I went so many years in my brain injury recovery. It wasn't even until recently, over a decade, that my gut was even talked about, thought about, addressed. And a lot of times we're put on all these medications that are like hurting our gut more. So it's just cycles. But yeah, I really appreciate you explaining. So it's based in inflammation?
Well, it's actually, I think, based on two things, inflammation and information, in the sense of there's that lack then of communication. And whenever there's inflammation, I really sort of talk about inflammation as white noise in the body. And so whenever there is this inflammation in the body, then there's going to be a lot of white noise. And when there's a lot of white noise, then there can't be that optimal function. And so when you do have a head injury and or the other thing too, is that stress plays a big role into all of this too, is that then what happens is you lose that communication and you lose that ability for there to be that proper sort of balance between the brain and the gut. And then that's when the nervous system gets involved. And so I think this is an important part, is we have two parts of the nervous system. We have rest and digest, which is obviously very rooted in the gut, and we have fight or flight. And anybody who's been through a head injury knows that that puts your body into this high fight or flight. And, you know, it's something that you can't even control. It's a whole different level than what a lot of other people have ever experienced. And so when you're in this, what we call that sympathetic nervous system overdrive, and you're in that fight or flight, then automatically you're not going to be able to rest and digest the way you should. You don't get that balance. And what that does then is that also drives more fight or flight, not only, you know, consciously, because when you're in these states, you know, and your heart's racing and you sometimes, you know, get these feelings of feeling flushed or hot and you just feel this anxiety. But then also because of these other things that are going on and these pathways that are going on because of the head injury, that you really do then get into this imbalance. And then that leads to more inflammation. And so that's where then this becomes, it's just snowball. And so there's so many things that go into it. And once you've, you know, experienced a head injury, one of the things is that's such, you know, that's so much, first and foremost, that you wouldn't even think sometimes, okay, well, is my gut now involved in it? You know, now is this something where I also have to think about my gut, because you're really trying to deal with all those changes that occur because of the head injury. But unfortunately, once the dominoes fall, then there's a lot of times things that we have to address if we ever have any hope of getting all those dominoes back up.
Yeah, that's such a good way to put it, with the dominoes, because it's like one thing affects the other. And as a brain injury survivor, I always felt like my brain injury just like made every single thing in my body get messed up. Like, and I never understood why or how it was connected, but it was like nothing worked right. And nothing felt the same, and everything was so foreign. And so you're often just putting out the worst fire. So my gut wasn't even thought about when I'm having all these problems with headaches, and I'm having all these problems with just daily functions and trying to get through the day. But the inflammation in the gut could actually be playing a role in some of those other things in like a underlying way that we might not know.
Mm-hmm. And another analogy I use, because I use a lot of analogies with my patients, but you know, if a tornado comes through, it can come through a neighborhood and each house is affected differently. But a lot of times, unfortunately, when there's that kind of stress on the body, that's when some of those weaknesses in a person will show up, and weaknesses that they were able to cope with, not sometimes even know were there. And so that had cracks in the foundation. So then when this occurs, then unfortunately everything sort of comes falling down. But it's a matter then of looking at all of these components and what we can do to get that person back, get that person to be able to get out of some of these patterns and then to start to rebuild. And a lot of us are, I say this all the time, a lot of us are sort of ticking time bombs when it comes to the gut. Even a lot of people listening that feel that they're healthy and they feel like, okay, I'm doing okay. A lot of us have inflammation in the gut from the foods that we eat to the fact that, you know, generation to generation, we're making weaker guts and digestive system. And so a lot of us are these ticking time bombs that then stress, either physical, chemical, or emotional stress on the body can really then blow over our house, you know, can come and we have these cracks in the foundation that we don't know about that then fall apart when they're pushed and strained.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. So how in this, you know, we're kind of talking about a lot of different things to kind of just narrow it in. How does the gut affect brain injury recovery?
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely in a lot of different ways. But one of the things that I think is important to remember is that it, if it's a source of inflammation and if it's continuing to be a source of inflammation, it's going to be really hard to heal. And our body needs a lot more things in order for us to heal than it does to sort of have to maintain a quality of life. And there's two reasons why I think that a lot of people can get a lot of inertia going in their healing after a brain injury with the gut. One of them is because we have a lot of control over the gut and gut health, in the sense of we can control what we put in for food. And a lot of the foods, unfortunately, that are very accessible to us can lead to a lot of inflammation from sugar and gluten and dairy. And then if we have more food allergies and food sensitivities, then that too wouldn't be something that we would want to have during times of healing. And two, because of the fact that 70% of our immune system, so the immune system that's responsible for repair, revitalizing and healing our body and tissues, 70% of that's in the gut. Along with a lot of our neurotransmitters like serotonin, 95% of serotonin is produced in the gut. So a lot of how we feel, how we heal, and whatnot is controlled directly by what's going on in our digestive system.
Yeah. Wow. So how we heal is affected by our gut, like actually physically how our body can handle the process of healing.
Well, and here's a sort of cool little fact in how the body works. And I know that when you're going through it, it's a very frustrating, but it's interesting because people who have leaky gut have leaky brain because it's that same mechanism. And then after a head injury, you have pretty much leaky brain. And so you're very, very highly likely to have leaky gut. Now, when we look at this, and I know a lot of people use the term leaky gut, but what to me leaky gut really is a loss of integrity. And so that's why we know after head injuries and after stress, you lose integrity of that brain barrier, but you also lose integrity of the gut barrier. And that's when then we can see more food sensitivities. We can see more inflammatory markers. We can see all of these things on a gut test increase because of the fact that when one is affected, when mom is angry, so is dad. When dad's hurting, so is mom. And so we can really start to see this connection. And that's why it's important. And I think we have a lot of control over digestive health that we can really use that too as an avenue to heal. So I know this can sound really overwhelming, but it also is very empowering.
So when you say leaky gut, just to reiterate, you said something about like the integrity of the lining. So what leaky gut, leaky brain. I mean, if somebody's never heard these terms, what do they really mean?
So when we have a part of our healing is inflammation. So I think a lot of times we use the word inflammation as negative, but it's not. Inflammation is how we heal. Where inflammation can be a problem is if it's not controlled or if there's not an end to it. When we have a lot of inflammation, then what happens is that inflammation will go and it starts to cellularly affect and damage the way that our body not only communicates, but the actual tissue. And so we know, so for instance, when somebody has a head injury, one of the things is that it becomes inflamed so that it can let in some of these larger molecules to heal. And the problem is that if there's this constant inflammation in the body that's not addressed, we continue to let these molecules try to heal, but they get overwhelmed because they're not able to make progress. And so when we talk about, you know, in a nutshell, leaky gut or leaky brain, we're sort of saying there's this lack of integrity of the barrier, that barrier that's supposed to be there, but it is because it's a normal response to the inflammation over time. But the problem then is that things can cross both of those barriers that shouldn't, which leads to more inflammation. So that's where it becomes this problem and concern where inflammation leads to more inflammation, leads to more inflammation. But that's where I think there's such an empowering part of going after the gut. Because if we can fix the gut and take away that inflammation, we can start to also fix the brain. And a lot of times, the healing process is a time thing. You know, it takes time for this to happen, no matter what. You know, no matter what process we're talking about in the body, there's always going to be a time factor. But that's where if we go after and really try to fix the gut, we can then really get the inflammation down and get the body then to start to get this barrier rebuilt, because it does regenerate and rebuild, and not be continued to be triggered and lead to more inflammation.
That's great. And I appreciate you saying that, because that brings so much hope, you know, to say, like, here's something that you can do in your recovery. You know, we can't really reach into our brain and fix it, you know, like as much as we'd want to, you know, as much as I like would pound on my skull, make this headache go away. You know, it's, you can't see it. You can't see the brain, but knowing that the gut and the brain are connected. Well, on the one hand, like we've been talking about, that means that when your brain is inflamed, it could cause some problems in your gut. When your gut's inflamed, it could cause some problems in your brain. But on the other hand, if you can work on healing your gut, maybe through nutrition or different ways to work on healing your gut, that in turn can help your brain injury recovery to go better.
Yeah. One great conversation that I think can make a lot of sense to people is talking about food sensitivities. And I think that this can really enlighten people about how dynamic this is. So I've been doing this for about 20 years. I will tell you, at the beginning, people didn't really know about food sensitivities. A lot of people didn't have the word gluten in their diet. And now people are definitely much more in tune to food sensitivities, food allergies, or people having problems with food. But I will tell you, I think one of the things that we miss a lot of times in the functional medicine world talking about is a lot of times food sensitivities, food allergies, and these food responses are a sign or symptom and side effect of inflammation. And so what's happening is that the body is starting to go after these proteins in food. And they're doing it because of exactly like we're talking about, is that there's a lack of integrity in the structure and in the function of the gut. And this can happen as the number one step, and this definitely can happen a ton after brain injuries. And so what happens then is that the body starts to be confused with the foods and the foods coming in those proteins. And so then a lot of these proteins that are a little bit more foreign to us, like gluten, that gluten molecule has changed a lot in the last 20, 30 years. U.S. gluten also has a lot of other things attached to it that can confuse the body. And it's much more likely to happen when there is this loss of integrity in the gut. What happens then is that what we find is then that immune system that's right in the gut, when these proteins are brought into the body and then usually not broken down fully, or they continue to be identified as the immune system as a problem, then what happens is that then the immune system goes after other parts of our body. And so, and a lot of times we will see then that it can lead to obviously autoimmune, but we're seeing more and more autoimmune of like molecules or cells that are in the brain or nervous system. And so we can check for those, like Vibrant America has a really good test to check for autoimmunity of the nervous system. And when we start to see a lot of those and we start to see a lot of food sensitivities, it's actually, we have to even go one more step to the root cause of there is usually this lack of integrity in the brain and the gut. And so we've got to take out those inflammatory molecules, and then we've got to be able to go in and fix the brain and the gut. And so that I think is really important, because a lot of times people come in and they're like, okay, I did this allergy testing and I found 20 different foods, and how can I ever eat like this? But I think what's missed a lot of times is we even have to go one more step backwards and say, okay, but why is your body being this reactive to proteins? And yes, there definitely is the component that a lot of the foods that we eat are more inflammatory than they used to be. But for your immune system to get involved, it's because of the fact that there is this leaky gut or brain that's causing that immune system some confusion.
Wow. Yeah. So basically, when your brain is injured, it can cause more inflammation, which causes more inflammation in the gut, which then can cause more sensitivities because of your body just trying to figure out what's going on.
Mm-hmm. And that happens because of the fact that what is happening is the body, the whole reason for the immune system is just to go around and heal, to identify proteins as either good or bad, and to heal the body. And so what happens then is that when there starts to become these proteins that the body becomes inflammatory towards, it also will start to get confused with certain similar proteins in the body. We call it molecular mimicry, but that's like, for instance, why we see so many gluten problems also are linked to thyroid autoimmunity. Brain, same thing. We're seeing a lot of connection between gluten and the brain. And I often say too that gluten is sort of becoming this food, unfortunately, that's unsafe for human consumption. But one of the reasons is because it does have such a negative effect on the brain, especially with some of the things it's linked to, like glyphosates. But then especially for anybody with a head injury and what we would sort of identify as leaky brain, that then that gluten can really start to lead to a lot of problems and inflammation that, you know, somebody might be able to ignore or get past. But when you're talking about a head injury and dealing with that level of inflammation, it's really putting gasoline on the fire.
So you mentioned that gluten has changed in the last like 20 years. Can you explain that a little bit further?
Yeah, there's a couple different interesting things about it, is that we've made sort of this super gluten grain from a lot of food science, that the gluten grain is not the same even in our country as it is in other countries. I spent 4 years over in Germany and I could eat the gluten there with no side effects. I could eat the gluten in Italy and be fine. But gluten here really affects me. So in the US, I have to stay off gluten or I'll have a bunch of side effects. Also, because I think the other thing about gluten is the way that we harvest it, we do use a lot of extra chemicals like glyphosates or Roundup. Gluten, the molecule or the name of gluten, actually means glue. So that's why we love that doughy bread and that just bread that just really will like be absorbable. Well, that grain, more than any other grain too, absorbs whatever pesticides, insecticides, or things like glyphosates that it uses. And so those kind of things then do get put into our body through the food we eat. And so that's where too, I think gluten is one of those molecules that, especially as you're trying to heal your brain, but really for everybody, that we should either completely take out or limit.
Yeah. Well, I resisted going gluten-free for a long time because I thought it was going to be so hard. But a little summer 2020, I finally decided I was tired of feeling awful every day. And I was like, and Dr. Schmo had recommended that I go gluten-free based on some of my blood work and the inflammation. And so I thought, you know, well, I'll try it. And if it doesn't help, then I'll just go back to eating it. And I took out gluten, and very, very quickly, within a couple of weeks, I noticed my brain fog had decreased so much. I could think clearer. I felt more energized. I felt different. And I was like, oh, this is actually really helping my brain injury recovery, because I had more space to even be able to do my exercises and think about other things. You know, it's kind of like some of that brain fog was eliminated by eliminating gluten. And so definitely recommend for those listening, talk to your doctor, your specific doctor about it. But yeah, it's good to do your own research and learn. And that's what you're doing by listening to this today, mm-hmm. and learn, like, you know, oh, gluten and the brain do have a really big toxic relationship. So gluten's not good for the brain. And so for those of us in brain injury recovery, I mean, I always think anything that we can do that's in our control to help our brains to heal is mm-hmm. something that we can do.
Yeah. And I think that's such an important message, because when we look at this, I think in healthcare in general, we try to take the power away from the patient. You know, we make you think you go to the right doctor and they'll figure it out for you, or you'll go on the right medication or the right supplement, and then you'll feel better. And, you know, as your listeners probably know, it's a huge journey. And it's really about giving the patient the power to make the changes. And they're comprehensive changes. They really are. But to give the patient the power to be able to do those things and then be empowered for really optimal health and wellness.
Yeah. So what do you recommend for a brain injury survivor listening today that's like, okay, I've learned that my brain and my gut are connected. I want to do something, but where do I start?
So I honestly would, in this category of patients, number one, recommend to start with testing. And there's a lot of reasons why. Is I am a big fan of the saying, test, don't guess. I think many times you can find a good provider on some with some things and sit down with them for a long period of time and talk through your symptoms and be able to be helped guided in the right direction. But with the gut, there's so many things that can sort of mimic each other that I am a big supporter, especially when there's been a head injury or long-term gut inflammation or both, for you to do a functional medicine gut test. And that would be a stool sample. By far, there's two that I like the most, probably because I've been using them for so long. One is from Genova Diagnostics, and it's called GIFX. And what it does is it breaks down the inflammation markers in your gut, but then it also breaks down how well you're digesting your food, your good bacteria, your bad bacteria, and whether or not there is the right terrain for the gut to heal. So when we start to see leaky gut or inflammation, we'll see markers on that that directly tell us where you are. The other one that I like a lot is called GI Maps, and it's from Diagnostic Solutions. That one is very similar. The only difference is it's a little bit more sensitive to pathogens. So if I think you might have H. pylori, if I think that you might have candida or yeast, or that you might have some pathogen, I would choose that one because it's a little bit more sensitive. There's also a third one from Vibrant America that's a great, great overall gut one. So those are probably my three favorite. But that's going to help you be able to see how much gut inflammation there is. There's also then going to be able to put that all together and be able to build a program.
That's great. So you recommend a functional medicine gut test. So where can they get this test done, or how can they find someone to help them with it?
So the best thing to do is to find a functional medicine doctor, because you're going to want someone to help read it. There are a couple places you can go, like there's Institute for Functional Medicine, ifm.org. I honestly think that there's also great resources on Facebook. I think most people get it through Facebook now. Go to like groups of functional medicine or like-minded individuals. Like I know in Minnesota, we've got a great Facebook page called like Crunchy Moms of Minnesota. But go on there and ask about providers and, you know, get sort of suggestions. You can also obviously do a Google search, but really what I think it is important is to do the test and then work with somebody to be able to put together a treatment plan. To fix the gut does take months. You know, it's not a 1 week process, and we usually do it in steps. So we usually first find if there's still an active reason for inflammation. Like for instance, if you have candida and yeast, that's going to be really hard on the brain and cause a lot of brain fog because of the byproducts. We do see a lot of people, honestly, with parasites, which I know sounds a little bit mind-boggling. But, you know, in that situation, then we've got to first remove that stressor, and then we've got to start to rebuild. And so that's where the test will be super helpful, because we can see, okay, where are your good bacteria? Where are things like butyrate and short-chain fatty acids? Where are they in your gut? Because that's the soil. That's what feeds the environment of your gut. And so if those are low, then we are going to have to really focus on that in step two. And so, and then getting everything rebalanced so you don't feel like you're sort of in this revolving door of care where your brain might feel better, but your gut's still inflamed, or your gut might start to feel better, but your brain just doesn't become less inflamed. And so that's where we can then sort of put all together and build a treatment plan specifically for you.
That's great. And I love that advice of working with a practitioner. I actually, there's a local neurological chiropractor that I've gone to that they do nutrition testing, and it's covered by my insurance, which is amazing. And so, and they have a lot of functional medicine knowledge, and they've been doing certain tests, and so it's been great. Like I was able to find something local that is covered by insurance. Now there are going to be doctors that are not covered by insurance, and it's just, you got to just find the right fit for you, and find, you know, the right fit, and it can seem overwhelming. And I know on the brain injury journey, everything is so overwhelming. And you might be thinking, here's one more thing for me to have to deal with. Cause that's what I thought when I first was like, the doctor was first telling me like, hey, like, you know, you should think about your gut. I was like, I cannot do one more thing. Yeah. I cannot even do one more thing. No. And so it takes time. Don't rush yourself. Don't rush the process. But something that Dr. Megan pointed out and that I think is worth reiterating is how empowering it is to know there's something you can do for your recovery. Mm-hmm. And that's where nutrition and the gut really has brought me to a place in my journey, is knowing that this is something that's in my control. I can control what goes on my fork and what goes in my body. And I can, with every bite, help my brain or hurt my brain. Mm-hmm. And so learning like what foods help me and what foods will hurt my brain, it actually has helped me to make decisions, especially like if I'm craving like something, you know, that's really bad for me, like, you know, ice cream, sugary things, you know, realizing, well, maybe I should get a alternative that has less sugar in it so I can still maybe have a treat, but I can do something that's better for my brain. And at some point, like you just get tired of your brain being messed up, and you get tired of being so tired all the time. And this is something that can make a huge difference. I don't think you can underestimate the value of the difference that healing your gut can make in your brain injury recovery. So I just appreciate you explaining this with us today, Dr. Megan. And if people want to get in touch with you specifically, is there a way that they can do that?
Yeah. So the clinic that I work at is called One Agora Health, and it's in Bloomington. So you can go to oneagorahealth.com and find some resources there. And then we are on social media. So you can find us at One Agora Health. Our clinic is very functional medicine and anti-aging based. So we do both the functional medicine and the aesthetic part to have a nice sort of balance between the fun stuff and the really helping people change their lives and the rewarding aspect of health. And then you can also find me on Instagram. I'm under Dr. Megan Kirschling in the social media world too. So you can find me there also.
That's great. So is there any last words of encouragement or hope or things about the gut-brain connection that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, I just think when you really look at this, and you know, I know that everybody listening has been through quite the journey, that you know, really do take back the power. And I think a lot of times we, as we go through the journey, just feel like, is there ever an end? And I hear that all the time. And like I say to a lot of my patients, there's not an end, but there is a destination, and there is trying to get it so that your health and wellness is much better managed and you feel like you're in control of it. And I just think that there's such a powerful tool that we have with food. Again, I like this saying too, is I like the saying that everything you eat is really either going to be something that supports your body and helps your body, or it's going to be something that can even be poison to your body. And that, in that sense, like if you look at it that way, that, you know, food is made, and a lot of the food of today especially is made to be addicting, and it's made for us not to be healthy. And that, especially as we're going through a journey of health and wellness, it's important then for us to take back the power. And even if you commit to 2 weeks of saying like, okay, I'm not sure that I'm really buying into this, or I want to do this, or that it's going to make a difference. If you do 2 weeks and really take out the foods and really go and do the things that are necessary to heal your gut, you will feel a difference. And I think that's very powerful, because you'll not only then take out the foods that you might be addicted to and not realize it, or the foods that might be adding more inflammation, but you'll also be in a situation, like you said, where you'll start to feel better, have more energy, sleep better, and change a lot of the brain fog and other brain changes that we see happen with food. And just keep plugging along. I know it's one step at a time, and I know it's not a linear, you know, from A to B, it's every which way in a zigzag pattern when it comes to healing, but you're better for it. And these changes that you're making really will pay off in the end.
That's great. I love that advice. So thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. You can get in touch with her on social media, Dr. Megan Kirschling. I will put those links in the podcast description. And yeah, thank you. If you guys have any questions for her or about this, please feel free to share them with me, as always. And I will try and get them to her, and we can follow up with any questions that you guys might have. So thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Hope Survives Podcast. I hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure to subscribe and stay tuned, as more episodes will be coming each week. And check out hopeafterheadinjury.com for more. I'll see you next time. And remember, there's always hope.